Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, your home of weekly draft content. Now here's Steve, Jono, Cam, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fears. Another big week of football. Things happened. Stuff happened. It felt like there was a lot of late outs leading into this week. Someone who is out, the Rooster. The Rooster's finally gone. Today's the day it goes. We somehow managed to find someone who needed a Rooster. So despite everyone reaching out and offering to take it, someone will come and pick it up. So I'm happy. Good times. Good times for the Fizzman. Someone else, it's good times for Tasmanians, as the launch happened and they've got their team and the logos and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not for it. Not that it's Tasmania in particular. I don't care where they're from. I just don't want more teams. Don't think we need it. I think it's tough enough winning a premiership. We don't need to make it harder. Fans get less of a chance to see their team win a flag. Obviously, with it being Tasmania, they're going to have to create the uncle, father, son rule. Hang on. My phone's going. That's weird. Ringing. It's Warnie. Warnie, hang on. Just let me grab this. Yeah, mate. What's happening? Well, I'm recording. I don't see how you can know that I made that joke before I've even Well, I know it's a cheap joke. I don't think Tasmanians are inbreeders. All right, man. See ya. Yeah, no, look, I think the Tasmanian team, it's a good thing. The people deserve their team there. I couldn't be more for it, and I look forward to them stealing a few of our quality Suns players down the line and probably winning a flag before us. But anyway, onto the footy. There were some injuries. We'll be talking waivers in a second. It felt like there was a lot of laid-outs today, or, you know, guys who were pulled after teams were named. Maybe that was just me. Obviously, there's a bit of an injuries down at St Kilda. So Liam Henry and Mason Wood both look like missing a chunk of time. So there is a bit of outside ball there to be won at St Kilda. So we might talk about that a little bit later. In the waivers, Dangerfield looks like missing a bit of time with a ham bone. Again, potential pickups to cover that. Melbourne with May and Lever situation. So I don't think we know exactly if either of them are missing. It looks nasty, but maybe it's something they can play through. I'm not sure there, but it could create a bit of a shuffle if Salem goes back into defence and maybe someone like Tom Sparrow starts getting a bit more of that mid time that he was used to. Maybe Cozzy Pickett gets a bit more of a go in there. So there's a few things that can happen there. Isaac Heaney, probably the big one, getting suspended. Does Sheldrick come in? Do they have enough guys to cover that? Does Rowbottom get more of a bump? Again, I think there's a little bit to play out there. But we do have a lot of questions this week. Again, another solo pod. I think Stato's back in next week, week after. Should be any day now. Any day now. We all want him back, and me especially, because I'm dying here. Just dying. Although the knee's better, we are running again, so the back, I mean. So it seems all positive. We'll go back to the physio on Wednesday, and we'll make some decisions about the future. We'll see what happens there. But onto the waivers, I think there's some really nice pickups. My favorite player in the league, Marcus Windhager. Brad Crouch got dropped. Marcus Windhager picked up a good chunk of midfield time. He's 42% owned. So when we're doing these waivers, we use the 40% ownership rule on Ultimate Footy. So 40% and less. If you're in one of those deep leagues, there might be a couple of guys here. But I know the best you can do off waivers is Aaron Cadman in your deep leagues. That's fine. But in the shallower leagues, Marcus Windhager, just with that midfield time, he played a really solid game, like really good game with that mid time. So maybe the rig's working for him. Certainly not working for John Newcomb being jacked as hell. Although I think John Newcomb could be a decent buy low. We'll see. But yeah, Marcus Windhager, pretty good pickup. Kane Farrell, the Port Adelaide defender, 33% owned. He's had a couple of really good weeks. I understand that the matchups have been handy, but Melbourne's on deck, and they've generally been a pretty good team because they just boot it long and don't hit targets. So that's probably another one I'm looking at. I think Windhager is the better pickup because there could be some long-term staying power there. Maybe Kane Farrell has that as well. I don't know. But I'm certainly interested more in Windhager than Farrell. The midfielders, like we spoke about, with Danger missing. So Bruin was out, and Tom Atkins was a laid out as well. Brandon Parfitt came into the team and really put up a good score. A lot of tackles. Got a lot of contested ball as well, which really like to see. 9% owned, so those deeper leagues should be all over him like stink on shit. And Tanner Bruin is at 39% ownership. Dangerfield misses. I think Atkins can still come back into that team and you know, these guys maybe come in. Jai Clark hasn't really set the world on fire for mine. And he has had some, like, you know, not a huge mid-time, but he has had play through there. So his score hasn't been particularly good. So we'll watch this space on Geelong. Watch this space on Geelong. It's been pretty interesting down there. I think Ryan Burns, 15% ownership, midfield only. I know we've had a bit of a rocky relationship owning Ryan Burns in the past, but with all that outside ball, he did play a pretty good game on the weekend. And I feel like with Mason Wood and Liam Henry potentially missing, there's certainly some opportunity in that St Kilda system. They play pretty good. They know who they are, I'll put it that way. And so there's a bit of outside ball on offer there. Ryan Burns certainly fits the bill of someone who can score. I know it's a deeper play, but hey, sometimes we need to show the deeper leagues a bit of love. Another defender we like, Jeremy McGovern, is it right on 40% ownership, and it's the last quarter of that West Coast domination. Maybe West Coast fans would be better off watching the basketball. I think the Wildcats are in the finals again. The finals are on, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. So maybe they just go watch the basketball. You don't want to watch these Eagles. But Jeremy McGovern's having a hell of a game, and there's a lot of kickouts there. He gets some of them. They have the Bulldogs on deck, which again is traditionally a good matchup. So unless you're our Suns, who just let everyone down this week, and good thing they got a week off to think about the things they did. Disappointing. Forwards, Cozzy Pickett, 36% ownership. Again, looking at that Melbourne situation, he has had a bit of run through there. Has teased in the past with that sort of role, but Melbourne look like they're potentially getting on a bit of a roll. Again, Porter, a tough matchup, so he might be a pickup and sit on the bench and just see how that shakes out, that situation. And again, in the deeper leagues, well, maybe not deeper leagues, but if you need a ruckman or a ruck forward, you could probably do worse than the superior Doss, Dossie McLean from Sydney. He is 33% owned. But with that ruck status, maybe you're really struggling. But on deck for the Swans is Richmond, West Coast, the bye, then the Suns and the Hawks. I really don't think you could get much of a better four-game stretch. Obviously, North Melbourne would be pretty handy, but that's a pretty good stretch. And McLean has been, I'd say, rosterable, even if he's not an out-and-out star, like 80s on the weekend. That's solid. The ruck forward is not a great position for fantasy, but he should be able to snag a couple of goals in a number of those matchups and take some marks. Certainly a developing player. Don't mind it. A bit of a dart throw at Dossie McLean there. And I will say, I think we're starting to get to that point. Like, it's early doors, but We're getting more intel on these teams, and I reckon if I was an Adelaide coach or a Hawthorn coach, I'd be asking serious questions about how my midfield setup is working. So I wouldn't, like, and we spoke about trading out Matt Rowe last week on a super sell high situation, just because he'd had things go his way. Again, I look at these situations like Adelaide, that midfield mix. I don't know what they do to change it. Matt Crouch has been hot fire, 37 touches, but not gaining any meters. Rory Laird, 29 touches, again, not gaining any meters. I'm not saying they're bad players, but it's not helping them win games of football. So I'm not sure they can keep going with that same thing and expecting different results. Obviously, they'll beat some teams, but I'd just be cagey, and maybe I'd look to get some shares of a Soligo, who should be free on waivers. Isaac Rankin, you know, a low ball trade. Rochelle's obviously his value's tanked considerably. I think he's still going to get a good price on these guys. Like, they played in difficult conditions in round one, obviously up against Geelong, who were probably in that same mix of them just being outside the eight last year, and a team who are looking to get back into it. So I'd really have a look at both those teams. And Hawthorn, they were such a dominant clearance team last year, or centre clearance team, I should say, not really on the outside clearances, and it's just not working for them this year. I know they're missing Day, but Nash probably down a bit. Obviously, Newcomb, teams are feeling it. I think they've gone up against a couple of really tough teams. I don't know that Reeves is the answer. So if you're in, again, if you're in a super, super deep league or a two ruck league, maybe you look to throw a dart at Meek. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens there, but certainly think there's room for things to change in those engine rooms. So maybe you could sell really high on a Matt Crouch from where you drafted him. Maybe you want to, I mean, Warple's been okay. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, talking the way I would be approaching those situations. Again, there's some buy lows out there. There's some sell highs out there. Use your logic to think about the process around what's worked, you know, what's gone people's way and what hasn't. Like, if they play the Tigers, like, obviously you can beat up on the Tigers midfield. Sam Swiekowski laid 9 tackles, but he only scored like 60. Well, 60's not a huge score, but 9 tackles is a lot of tackles for a half forward. So just sort of think about those sort of things like we spoke about last week with Matt Rowell. Obviously, again, in the Gold Coast game, a few interesting things happened there, like with the magnets being thrown, Lukosha spending time in defense. Sexcoat being shunted forward. To me, that's a bit of a warning sign. Obviously, you're going to get Lockie Weller back at some point through the middle of the season. Different story for draft and salary cap. I think the people who picked Sexton in salary cap, they're obviously not looking to keep him long term. Whereas in draft, you're probably going to need to make a move for him, make a move to get him out of your team at some point. So I certainly wouldn't be super shocked there. Lukosius spending time is really interesting to me. I don't think it's long term. I still think they need to play Mac Andrew. But again, we'll see how that shakes out. Certainly some of these teams are having questions answered of themselves. So, you know, we look at what's happening in that Gold Coast defense, like Bodie Yulin, Connor Buderick, probably a part of Gold Coast's next flag push if they're going to have one. Whereas Alex Sexton, I think this is, you know, his career's winding down, let's be honest, and they're throwing something. So a few interesting moves there. We'll see. And of course, Brandon Ellis, who's just completely washed. Anyway, on to the Twitter questions. Mark, he brought Sidebottom in off the waivers. The Adelaide Oval pitch invader scored more points. He's going to try to get him off waivers this week. I mean, you must be playing in pretty deep league if Sidebottom's a realistic option for you. I would have thought he was just a complete avoid at this point of his career. Ninja Spoon, heard you're running again. Congratulations. Yes, I have done a couple of ordinary 5Ks over the last couple of weeks, so feeling pretty happy about that, man. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's like when you have to sort of go back to square one, it can be frustrating to do that, but I'm feeling very grateful at the minute, so that's where we're at there. Thank you, Ninj. Supercoach is live. Someone dropped Dunkley from my draft league. I've got McRae on Walsh on field tanking. Not sure why you have to tank. Is that a reverse ladder waiver priority system? I don't know who's dropping Dunkley. That's crazy. The Draft Doctor's customer help intern. It's halftime in the Gold Coast game. Is it time to sack Dimmer, or is the reason we're losing that Ballarat sucks? Yeah, it's Ballarat sucks, man. Don't worry about that. Dimmer's fine unless we lose again next week. Oh, we're on bye. You can't. Perfect. Matty Faz, doing great work on the articles as always. Hawthorn game plan or defenders versus Melbourne? Bit of both. Hawthorn aren't going to move the ball fast, but defenders versus Melbourne's generally a good thing. And defenders against the Saints, kaput or Collingwood game plan? Again, we're dealing with small sample sizes at this point of year, so I don't want to go too crazy about anything. It's like people were rightly asking questions about Kieran Briggs. Well, they'd played really low stoppage games, playing a higher stoppage game and against a terrible opposition. Kieran Briggs going ham for you. So we'll put things in perspective. I'm not sure. Has defenders against Saints been a good thing? They tend to fuck around with the ball a bit too. John, Mitch Owens, can you trust him to start over Perkins if Parrish is back, for example? Love the pod. Yeah, it's a good question. What you do in that situation, I wasn't super keen on Mitch Owens for fantasy purposes this year. If Parrish is back, I probably would have a very hard time starting Perkins, and I'd try to find an easier matchup. We'll look at match. So Carlton are playing North Melbourne. Yeah, but probably tough to stream a Carlton forward because they'll be owned. So I might look for, say, Bulldogs versus West Coast. Well, Norton's going to be free. Waitman's probably not owned. Ugel Hagen will certainly be on the waivers. So, I mean, you've got some pretty good options there in that matchup. Sam Darcy had a pretty good game. Again, I don't like playing the ruck forwards, but it was a pretty well-rounded game. 15 touches, 6 marks, 4 tackles, some hit-outs, a couple goals. I could see him pulling out that sort of game again. Norton's a tough... There's so many dudes down there. It's kind of tough. You know, like we're streaming Callum Brown against West Coast today, and it looks pretty good on paper, but everyone else is eating except him. So sometimes it just sort of goes that way. But I'd certainly try to find a more trustworthy matchup. Both of those guys just reek of like 60s. I mean, I guess you can play Mitch Owens, but, and Perkins might be fine. I'm certainly not dropping him if you picked him up. BP, can you see any potential DPP candidates outside the popular mid to defender players like Martin, Aish, Bonner? James Aish, man, crazy. Although we did mention it. We did say if Chapman's missing, he's a good pick. Or is it too early to see the trends? Yeah, it's a good point. It really is a bit, although we have got 3 games on some players. So I put down some names. So Crisp, probably a chance to get defender. Aish, Max Holmes, Tom McDonald, whether you want to run that life, add defender. Noah Answorth is a forward who will probably get defense. He's certainly worth a pickup. I should have mentioned him, actually. He's worth a pickup. Noah Answorth from Brisbane. Will Hoskin-Elliott probably gets defense. Jared Berry probably gets defense. Sam Berry probably gets forward if he's in the team, which who knows? Probably not. So, yeah, there's plenty of options floating around. I think Jaden Papowski, if you're on the Twitters, he tweeted out a list, I think, after like the first week of updated positions from Champion Data's point of view, like Horn Francis was on it, but it's one game, so I'm certainly not going crazy about those sort of moves off of one game. So we'll see. McKercher, probably one who's going to pick up defender status. Nick Martin. So, but again, they fall into your popular player matrix. Matthew, thoughts on Jack Crisp? Been a shocker so far, but will surely find form soon. Probably Collingwood winning a game would help. But he's not someone I'm hot on by any stretch. I think he's seen better days. Mikey, where do you rank Aish at the minute? I'm the Hayden Young owner and I'm keen to ship him off. And with Aish likely to get DPP, I'm keen to make the trade for him. If Aish is owned in your league and you don't have him, I wouldn't buy him. And the reason is I think Heath Chapman will play once he comes back and he'll play in defense. And I would suspect Aish's plays up the ground a bit more. I think we just sort of describe Aish in the preseason as their Swiss Army knife. So if things have missed down back, he would go down there and play that role. And he's done it before and played it well. But he's, again, their wings are a little bit thin for my liking. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm certainly not trading for him, and I'm certainly not trading Hayden Young for him. I know it was a little bit of a lean game from Young on the weekend, but like 21 touches, it's not that bad, and it was a very outside game. I wouldn't worry too much. I'll put it that way. Hayden Young's a better buy than sell. I mean, I'd put it that way. So we'll see. We'll see though. We'll see. That's why we play the game. Kyle, where does Parfitt keep his spot? I brought him in for a week. 100 super coach. Is he worth holding on the bench? I think in the short term he is. Long term, obviously you're going to have guys like. If Danger misses, like he'll come back after a month. You'll have Guthrie at some point. But, yeah, I think he's worth holding in the short term and seeing how that situation shakes out. Major, what to do with the Goey? Just hold and hope for a Bali trip. He's not someone I've ever really cop shares of. I'm just... Yeah, I mean, it was a howler on the weekend, right? It was a howler. It just no tackles, one mark. He had that year where he was good, where he took a bunch of marks when Collingwood were playing a bit slower, but Collingwood have got Brisbane, then Hawthorn. You got to think there's better days. But if you wanted to, you got to hold him, I think, if you've drafted him. Unless you only play, like, say, five mids. When someone's going bad, that's like, you should be looking at other teams when their players are going bad, like how you feel with the Goey, and buy them on the cheap. I thought things will turn around for him, surely. Aiden, Tom Powell, just a lucky start to the season, or has he got the role? It certainly looks like it. After being on him for years, again, it hurts to see that you're not on it. Carlton this week, if you drafted Tom Powell, you picked him up, good luck to you, man. Certainly not dropping him. Pete, Jake Lloyd in a keeper, surely can't bin, but just unplayable. He's unplayable for sure, and I think you can bin if you need the spot. Hot take. Hawker, Jai Newt gone by low target perhaps. Yeah, I tend to think he is a buy low candidate. He's probably not someone I'm super keen on. I didn't see the upside that a lot of people saw in him. I thought if there was going to be any player with upside in that midfield, it was Will Day, who obviously got injured. But he certainly unders at the minute. 17 touches, so I would expect a shake-up at Hawthorn. I don't think they're going to cop what's happening. Maybe that Hustwaite gets a crack. Packenson, North are going to be fun to watch. Dersma build a solid score with no CBAs and 11 marks. Is this what we can expect from him long term? A reverse route, if you will. Yeah, you can't expect 11 marks a game from people, but yeah, it's really interesting with North. Their ball use has been a good deal better this year. I'm not sure I'd be expecting 11 marks from anyone, let alone... Yeah, it just doesn't happen. If you've got 15 disposals and 11 of them are from marks, that to me is a big worry. It's a really big worry. I'm not saying Dersma can't get... It's his first year. Yeah, he's a good keeper pick and all that sort of stuff, but I'd just call my Jets on what my expectations are for an outside player like that. Although, again, it's a good team to be an outside player in. Jeffrey, kept Brad Crouch as my M2. Am I completely screwed or is it too early to tell? Yeah, I kept Brad Crouch in a keeper league as well. It's tough sledding. You got to hang on to him, obviously. But it could be bad, man. I think they want to play a bit quicker given who they're playing through the midfield this season. So we'll see. Obviously, Henry was getting a little bit of a go in there, so Crouch might come in, but... Windhager played well, I thought. So you've got to keep him, but it's not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. Sambo, would you trade Newcomb away for Aish and Wilkie? I think Aish averages 85 this year, and I need a D4. I probably wouldn't, but... I can understand if you do, but again, I feel like we're overreacting to this Aish thing just a fraction. And just sometimes you got to let, like in draft, everyone, you can't have everyone, right? I don't think I'm trading away John Newcomb. That seems like selling low and you're doing the selling low and buying high. If you want to do it, I feel like you can get, I mean, if you're in a deep league, fair enough, but I feel like you can pick up decent 80 averaging defenders. Like, you know, Kane Farrell, Windhager, McGovern. We've given you a bunch of them tonight. We gave you a bunch last week. Use the DFS Australia site for the matchup charts. They're really good. And there's so many defenders. Unless you're in a super, super deep league, I'd really struggle to see the value in trading away a midfielder who we expect to be better for a guy who's... I mean, Aish doesn't even have defender status yet. So, I mean... Yeah, maybe... I mean, if you like Wilkie, Wilkie's maybe okay, but... Yeah, I'm not doing that trade with Aish in mind. Jordan, is Aish... Man, fuck. What? James Aish. God damn. Is Aish the halfback role real? I'm top of the waivers, and if he's available, shall I pull the trigger? You can... You can. What's his ownership? I should have checked that. That's an interesting one. I'll just check that quickly. St Kilda. Oh, fuck. It doesn't play for them. Fremantle. James Aish. 67% owned. Jesus Christ. Man, I'd rather Windhager. I'd probably rather Broon. You can get him. Just be aware you might have to pivot in a month. Joel, do we need to make necessary adjustments as news comes to hand? Always, Joel, always. Alex, Sam Darcy must play the rest of the season. Also, a good chance to cover English if he unfortunately cops an injury. It's a good point. It's a very good point. He'd be very good. It's such a tough role to succeed in. There's so many dudes down there. But, yeah, pick him up, sure. Warren, Gresham or Pickett, real and worth first waiver in SC? Gresh scored 120 in a losing side. Can we trust the little pissant? Honestly feel like someone like Weddle is a safer choice, but defenders run deep. Man, Weddle pushed forward in that game at times. So I'm not sure I trust Hawthorn. I think they're going to mix things up a bit. Gresham, I actually drafted Gresham and dropped him after the first week, and he was kind of crap and obviously just lit it up against Sydney, which would seem like a bad matchup on paper. I think you can pick him up if you like. Yeah, you can certainly pick either of them up in Supercoach. There's no dramas with that. Anyway, that is going to wrap it up for this week. Some trade targets, sort of. It's just buy low, guys. Buy low and try trade out defenders. Think about it like this. There's always defenders to pick up and stream and play, and we're about to get Crisp, Ash, Holmes, Martin. Who else? Like, there's a whole raft of guys we're about to pick up. McKercher. All these guys as defenders. Man, there's going to be too many defenders. Like, man, you're going to be able to stream defenders, no dramas. I know some people prefer to have the locked-in option, but, man, I would be trying to sell, like, my milling defenders so hard right now. Really, really. Two-for-ones, grab a defender and a midfielder and get them upgraded, all that sort of thing. Tom Dode is potentially playing for Brisbane this week against Collingwood. So we'll monitor that. But yeah, there's defenders everywhere. I would be trading defenders for midfielders. Pick a defender who's going okay. Man, if I had James Ash and like y'all are in love with him, and that's fine, I'd pair him up with a midfielder, try ship him up, and upgrade. That 100%, that'd be the move I was doing. Anyway, food for thought. Yeah, Callum Wilkie, this is the better part of that trade. Yeah, Newcomb, maybe. Maybe on that trade. We'll see. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Hopefully, Stato's back from his overseas jaunt. And thank God the Rooster's gone. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.